our Old Testament reading this morning. It's from the book of Leviticus. As God is laying down the foundation of the laws and the statutes by which the Israelites must live in order to honour God and be an honour to God. And here we can see by the instruction that is given to the priest the cost of sin. This is brought about because of the sins of man. We see here the sacrificial atonement before the time of Christ. And this shows the role of the high priest in the Old Testament times of the law. The Day of Atonement commanded by God, and this was held annually, the Day of Atonement was held annually to cover the sins of the nation corporately and individually. It was for sins and defilements that may not have been acknowledged or been unacknowledged during the past year, so not already dealt with. This atonement took place once a year, every year, but only those who were genuine in their faith and repentance received its benefits, the forgiveness of God. And you'll note here, as Margaret brings this reading before us, the righteous standard of God. The standard he required of the priest, the strict orders that were given to the priest by God. Thank you, Margaret.
Leviticus chapter 16, verses 1 to 13. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil, before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in a cloud above the mercy seat. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering, and of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash, and with the linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering and one ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord, to make atonement upon it, and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull as the sin offering, which is for himself. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Margaret. He shall make a censer full of burning coals of the fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. That represents our individual prayers brought before God. When we When we pray before God, when we bring our praise and our prayers and our petitions, our requests before God, they rise up to God as sweet incense. This is part of our worship, to have communion with God and to bring these matters before God. He is part of our lives. He wants to hear what we have to say to him. This is a picture. The work of the priest here is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and his perfect sacrifice on the cross. In verses 5 and 8 to 10, the two goats. Here we see that one was slain. This was to picture the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ for believers. The second goat was sent into the wilderness, representing the complete removal of our sins. On the cross, Jesus dealt with every sin, past, present, and future, for every believer. He is now our eternal high priest, whom we come to in prayer for forgiveness, comfort, and guidance. He is our doorway to heaven. Jesus Christ, our high priest. Now we come to our New Testament reading this morning from the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verses 17 to 20. Jesus is our perfect high priest, and we are safe in him. He is our eternal refuge. And this is the beauty of Jesus rising from the tomb and going to heaven as our great high priest. He is there. Now, Margaret read how the priest had to come behind the veil into the Holy of Holies with the blood of a bull and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. And then he'd bring in the incense and fill the room with the smoke and the sweet-smelling incense. Jesus Christ is there today behind the veil. He's our great high priest. He's fulfilling his role as our priest, our mediator between man and God today. And this is the beauty of understanding the fullness of the role of Jesus Christ, our high priest. His work did not finish on the cross. We pray and we speak much about our sins being forgiven, our sins past, present, and future, and he can only do that by being alive in the presence of God, dealing with our sins that we have not committed yet. He is alive today at the very throne of God as our advocate before the throne of grace. Here in chapter 5, we must understand that we are feasting on the very meat of the Word of God. This is food for our soul. We must understand the richness of what is going on here. It is the anchor to our faith, knowing that Jesus Christ is there on our behalf today. The certainty we must have, we must know it in our hearts today for understanding the eternal value of Jesus Christ as our high priest and that of his saving grace for every true believer. This is what's so important for us here. Let us read the scriptures here. 6:17-20. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise, the believers in Jesus Christ, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. This cannot change. Jesus is, with certainty, our great high priest on our behalf in heaven today. That by two immutable things, in verse 18, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. So understanding that Jesus is our great high priest is the hope that we have, and we run to him for refuge today. This is the beauty and the richness of the scriptures that are set before us today. to know and to understand that our Saviour is our advocate in heaven today, tomorrow and forever. What peace this brings to our hearts. He didn't die on the cross and it's finished there and we're on our own. He's gone to heaven as our high priest. And Margaret spoke clearly about the role of the priest on earth. And the role of the priest was had to be right before God. It had to be right before God. Aaron's two sons, in the opening verse of Margaret's verses there this morning, Aaron's two sons offered profane fire. Profane fire on the altar. And fire come down from heaven and swallowed them. We can't say that we are believers without being true believers. It's profane fire. We must be true to our heart and true to God. And he has done all of this for us. Let's move on. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Jesus Christ is set before us. Verse 19, this hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. And we understand that from Margaret's reading this morning. Where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus. Jesus is the first fruits of those going to heaven. Having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And that's why we have the teaching of Melchizedek today, because the scriptures say he had no beginning or end of day. So he was a picture of Jesus Christ. No beginning, no end of days. Jesus has no beginning and no end of days. He was with God at creation. He's our eternal refuge in heaven today on our behalf. From the grave and back to heaven, this Jesus has gone ahead of us into heaven that we may follow. That we may follow. This is the heart of the scriptures that are teaching us day by day as we open and read and feast on the word. If we drift from the word of God, if we drift away from reading the scriptures, if we go back into the world, we can begin to doubt the word. There's many people out there today throwing doubt and throwing confusion upon the word of God. It's their ambition. Thus we become dull to the word of God. And that's why it's so important that we stay in the word of God. We become lazy believers. We eventually become lost in the fog of the confusion of the information that we take in. And we lose the joy of our eternal hope. So let us lay hold of God's word, which gives us the anchor for our soul, bringing us to Jesus Christ. In verses 17 and 18, there are two heavenly mysteries that we need to understand. There's two heavenly mysteries that we need to understand. One is the heavenly priesthood of Christ. That is not spoken about much, the heavenly priesthood of Christ, that he is alive. He is alive in heaven, forgiving us our sins as we come before him. If we don't bring our sins before him, if we don't settle our account with him, what can he forgive? That is our relationship with Christ. And he's doing this forever because he's eternally alive in heaven. And this is our joy. In the Old Testament, nobody went behind the veil except a very fearful high priest. And what was it that Margaret read in the second or third verse? That if he didn't do this properly, lest he would die, he would come before the throne with the blood of a bull, with fear in his heart. Will I get out of here alive? We don't have that fear because our priest is alive and alive forever. He went behind the veil and he was fearful And he came only once a year into that Holy of Holies with the blood of a sacrifice to sprinkle on the mercy seat. And this was teaching us the fearfulness of that priest on behalf of the nation of Israel, shows us the depravity of sin. The depravity of sin. And we know from looking from this side of Jesus Christ that it did not fix the sin. It dealt with the sin that day, but it did not fix it. It was the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ that wipes away the sins of the believer forever. This is so important that we understand this. We who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that was set before us. What is the hope set before us? Jesus Christ. He left his heavenly throne. He came to this earth. And he died on the cross on our behalf. He is the hope that is set before us. The object of our hope is Jesus. He is our only hope whom God has set before us. Jesus, through whom we can draw near to God. He is the mediator between God and man. He is the one before God today, holding out those nail-pierced hands. I died for them, they are mine. And as for us sinners, God has nothing but wrath. We know that. We've been told that. The great judgment upon a sinful world is still to come. God is holding back the judgment. Long-suffering. The wages of sin is death. And every one of us is a sinner. So the wages, or the court before God, were to pronounce upon each and every one of us death. The only way to be reconciled or escape the penalty of death is through Jesus Christ. That is how precious Jesus is. Laying down his own life to give us life. Jesus is our hope. He is our only hope. He is our anchor. An anchor of a ship. When you think about the anchor of a great ship today, it is dropped into the water, down into the unseen, to stop the ship from drifting. Our hope is in the unseen, within the veil of God's sanctuary in heaven today. That is our hope. His eternal kingdom is behind the veil, in heaven. That is where our hope is. And so we see all these little pictures given to us as we understand and as we read the scriptures. When Jesus gave up his last breath on the cross, what happened in the temple? The curtain or the veil was torn in two from top to bottom. Some say it was 5 inches thick. Horses couldn't tear it apart. And it miraculously split in two, opened up, that from a time of Christ's life laid down for our sins, we have the freedom to come boldly before the throne of grace. We don't go in shaking and shivering like the priest did once a year, sprinkling the blood on and offering up the incense. Every time we get on our knees and we pray before God, the incense is rising up. This is the beauty of our salvation. And this is where our heart lives, so that every day we work towards our eternal glory. Now, we don't work towards our eternal salvation. We are justified by faith the moment we believe and give our lives and accept Jesus Christ into our heart. But we are being sanctified, and we are working on that sanctification. God is working in us. And we are receiving the teaching and the leading of the Holy Spirit that has changed our lives. And so we are working towards our eternal glory, sharing our faith with others around us. And we're working towards our heavenly home. God is making us fit for heaven as we share the gospel, or we present the gospel in the way we live here on this earth. This is our blessed and certain hope because we are partakers of Christ. And I've mentioned this many times. Christ was with God at creation. He partook of the flesh. when he was born of the Virgin Mary on this earth. He grew up living in the flesh, feeling our pain, our suffering, our joys, our happiness, our dreams in the flesh. He was fully man. He partook of our life that he could shed his blood. As a spirit, he could not shed his blood. There had to be a price paid, and the price was the blood. It started way back when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. What did God do when he met Adam, who was hiding because of his nakedness? He had to kill an animal to make a skin covering to cover his sin. So the shedding of blood began right back there. It was demonstrated all through the Old Testament time of the law. It finished when Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross. And we have become partakers of Christ through the Spirit of God that he has given us. This is the beautiful thing. Christ partook of our flesh, and we partake of his Spirit because his Spirit leads us in our lives. He's in our heart leading us. 28. Where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus. Jesus is the first fruit of those going to heaven. He is opening the gates of heaven that all should come in. All who follow him will come in. That's why it said earlier in Hebrews, he is our captain. He is leading us. At the cross, Jesus died for our sins, and immediately the veil was rent. Later, Jesus ascended into the presence of God as our high priest, our leader, our captain, our forerunner. He gave up his life, he shed his blood, and he ascended from the grave to open the way by himself, walking into it. He went back to the heavenly realm, opening the door for all who would follow, that we might follow him in that way, to the place into which he has entered, just as Abraham followed God's leading when he went from the heathen nation of Ur to the land of promise, the land of Canaan. No one can come to the Father but through me, Jesus said. This is the word of God. Remember John 14? Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus said. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions in heaven. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back to take you to be with me where I am, the coming in the clouds and the calling up of the raptured home to glory. Home to glory. What a wonderful Saviour. Thomas said, I don't know the way. Jesus reminded him, he said, I don't know the way and I don't know how to get there. How can I know? And Jesus said, look at me. Look at me, Thomas. I am the way, the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So we don't have to run off the end of every year and have a priest kill an offering and make an offering before God. It's done. It's dealt with. Christ has entered for us. He came to this earth for us. He died for us that we might live. Christ has entered within the veil into the very presence of God for us, on our account, the true believer. He has there behind the veil all of his inheritance. All the glories of heaven are there waiting for us when we come home to glory. It is all for us, all that he is, all that he has is for us, because we live with him and in him, our great high priest. As I said before, he partook of flesh, we partake of the Spirit of God who leads us into the home of glory. The torn veil in the temple speaks of our access within the veil. We come into a new world, a new way of living, into an intimate relationship with God, partaking of the Spirit of God. And that's why Jesus said, when I go back to my Father, I will send you a comforter, a helper, the Holy Spirit, and he will guide you in truth, in the truth of the Word of God. This is where Jesus is leading us, into the very sanctuary of God, into God's rest, rest for our souls. Verse 20b, having become high priest forever, high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The Melchizedek priesthood was one that had no end of days, demonstrating the role of Christ, no end of days, for all of eternity. Jesus is a priest who opens to us the state of eternal life. And that is hard to get your mind around, that we're going to go from this living mortal body into an eternal state before God. Eternal life. He himself has led the way and entered into it. He who gives to our hearts, while we are here on earth, the certainty of eternal life. This is the joy that we have, this the peace that we have, the certainty through him of eternal life in glory. Do we realize the power of this hope to where Jesus has already entered in heaven beyond the veil? We have this hope given us by God's Spirit alone. To reject this brings the full wrath of God. To reject this brings the full wrath of God, and that of eternal hell. Eternal hell. All that Jesus is, all that Jesus has, is heavenly. All that he gives us is heavenly. And today he has prepared to bless us with his heavenly blessing by the truth of his word. Today we know him as our Saviour. We know him for his love. We know him for his mercy towards each one of us. And one day soon, we'll see him face to face. And then we'll be with him for all of eternity. And this is the joy that fills our hearts today, knowing the certainty that God has prepared mansions in heaven for all who love his Son, Jesus Christ. Mansions in heaven for all of eternity. I want to leave you with famous verses. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 9. Now John was given this vision, and the angel came to him and showed him some of the glories of heaven. We don't know how to form it in our minds to make it a perfect picture, but it's written here in the scriptures. It must be beautiful because God has prepared it. Look what God has prepared for us today. Look at the flowers that are coming out in bloom every year on the day in our gardens today. The blossom that's been on the trees up and down the street, it's just glorious, just showing the handiwork of God without fail. Revelation 22, 1 to 9. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb, and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show you, his servants, the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Amen.